on the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, I want to talk to you about a more powerful force, the most powerful force of all, the power of prayer and fasting.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks that affected so many lives so deeply, so profoundly, right to this day. We want to reflect on that, but I want this show to be redemptive, encouraging, faith-building, and challenging to us to give our lives for good and for God. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. Especially those I'm speaking to in the greater New York and D.C. areas. Many of you may have been more affected by the 9/11 tragedy. Nancy and I at that time were living in Pensacola, Florida, but our lives were directly affected. In particular, Nancy's, her brother, was killed at the World Trade Center that day. In fact, he used to work in the World Trade Center and was not working there at that time, but was there that day for a trade show of all days. He was there that day for a trade show and was lost, left behind his wife and two little children. There was a ferry that was named after him as he would commute in from New Jersey. There were different ferries that were named after, say, the policeman or policewoman that never made it home that day, or the firefighter that never made it home that day. He was the commuter that never made it home. Many of you have been deeply affected. And if you think of it, it's such a work of Satan. The destruction, the hatred. I mean, think of being that demon-filled, that full of hatred, that deceived to somehow think you're doing the work of God so as to take all of these innocent lives and take your own life in the process. But I want you to hear something. If those terrorists had not given their lives for their destructive, demonic cause, they could not have wreaked the havoc that they did. They could not have destroyed so many lives. That's the power of giving one's life to a cause. Here, an evil, destructive, horrific cause that every civil-minded person of any faith or non-faith would utterly reject and deplore. There is a power for good, though, friends. There is a power for transformation when we give our lives to doing good. When we give our lives to serving others, when we give our lives to Jesus and don't keep our reputations first, our prosperity first, our well-being first, our comfort first, even our own life first, we put God's will first and say, here I am, send me. We can be used to bring life. We can be used to bring healing and restoration. I want to reflect a little bit today on the question, are we as devoted as the 9/11 terrorists? An article I wrote 1 year ago on that theme, are we as devoted as the 9/11 terrorists? And I want to challenge each of us to go deeper in terms of the most powerful single thing we can do in God, and that is give ourselves to prayer and fasting. And here's my question for you. 866-34-TRUTH. Why should we fast? As believers today, why should we fast? What power is there in fasting? What can be had with fasting that cannot be had without it? Why should we fast and join that fasting with prayer as followers of Jesus, new covenant, grace-empowered, spirit-blessed and filled believers? Why should we fast today? And have you ever seen breakthroughs come in your own life or ministry that only came through fasting and prayer? 866-348-7884. Want to hear from you today. A lot to share, a lot to challenge us with, a lot to encourage us with, a lot to build our faith in. You're listening to the right program at the right time.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. On this anniversary of 9/11, if you are still directly affected by the tragedy of that day, if there was a family loss that is still felt acutely to this day, our condolences go out to you. My heart goes out to you. And I do believe that everything Satan means for evil, even if there are certain holes in this life that can never be filled, God can ultimately turn those terrible, painful things for good. And he can work in your life in a way that you know him more deeply than you ever would have before. And then out of the brokenness and pain, he makes you into something you never could have been before. So it's our prayer that the tragedy, which still burns deep in many lives and has led to other suicides and depression and hopelessness as a secondary result, that in your life that wouldn't be the case and that Jesus would be glorified in you all the more. 866-348-7884, or join the discussion already taking place on my Facebook page where I ask the question, why should we fast as believers? What power is there in fasting? And let me tell you why I'm addressing that issue at the same time that we're talking about the 9/11 terrorist attacks. When I was answering questions last Friday, I had a stack of e-questions, and you've got questions, we've got answers, our Friday broadcast. I had a stack of e-questions, and I didn't get to the last two, which both happened to be questions about fasting. Why do we fast? What are the keys to fasting? What are the effects of fasting? I didn't get to them, and I thought, you know, I should really do a whole show talking about fasting and talking about fasting and prayer together and the importance of it, and even to encourage myself to give myself to more fasting as I used to fast more regularly and for longer periods of time, 20 years ago than today. So I thought, I'm going to address that, and I thought, I'll address it on Tuesday, and then I realized, wait a second, Tuesday's 9/11. I thought, well, that'll fit. That'll work fine, because we see the power of evil. We see when human beings give themselves to destruction, what they can do, and sometimes the flesh wants to retaliate. Sometimes the first reaction is revenge. Sometimes the first reaction is hatred from our part. Sometimes the first reaction is political, whereas the government may fight battles, there may be anti-terrorist work that's done, the army may prosecute wars, but our primary job as believers is to engage in spiritual warfare. Our primary job as believers is not to attack people, and God forbid it ever crosses anybody's mind that we're to engage in violence against any group. God forbid. And if you've got your spiritual head screwed on right, that's the last thing in your mind either. I'm not talking about self-defense. If someone breaks into your home, I'm not talking about in the midst of war for a just cause. I'm talking about our battle is a spiritual battle. Our battle is not going to be fought primarily with earthly means. And even though I'm on the radio and we're using the airwaves and the internet and I'm writing and we're communicating and doing all those things, the fact is, if this battle is not waged spiritually, it will not be won. And the greatest weapon we have is often the one we neglect the most, and that is the power of prayer and fasting. I thought, this will fit just fine today. So tell me, I'm asking two simple questions. Number one, why should we fast as believers today? Obviously, we're not earning something from God. Obviously, this is not some religious ritual that we go through to look spiritual. Oh, look at her. She's fasting. She looks miserable. Wow. No, that's not what we do. In fact, Jesus says, don't even let people know you're fasting. It's one thing to call people to fast and pray together, but to announce our private fasting, no. He said, don't even let people know. As much as you can avoid letting people know, don't let them know and look joyful and, you know, spruce yourself up and go out so people don't know you're fasting. This is between you and God. But why should we fast? What power is there fasting? And do you have a testimony? Obviously, that's my second question. Do you have a testimony to a breakthrough that only came when it was joined with fasting? Obviously, I want to apologize in advance. You may have an amazing 3-hour story, but we'll have to condense it to 2 or 3 minutes, okay? But I'm sure it could be shared powerfully nonetheless. I'm going to read these e-questions about fasting in a little while. But first, let's reflect on this. This question that I asked last year in an article on townhall.com, are we as devoted as the 9/11 terrorists? Were the Islamic terrorists who carried out the 9/11 attacks crazed fanatics? Were they simply religious men who were deeply devoted to a destructive and deadly cause? The night before these jihadists committed their ghastly acts, they read a letter in Arabic giving them their final instructions, including these lines, quote, purify your soul from all unclean things. Completely forget something called this world or this life. The time for play is over, and the serious time is upon us. How much time have we wasted in our lives? Shouldn't we take advantage of these last hours to offer good deeds and obedience? Whoa. Did you get that? I'm not saying that these men were the most pious Muslims in the world and abstained from drunkenness and abstained from immorality and abstained from this and that. I don't know about their lives. They may have been the opposite, but they were doing what they did because they thought they were doing Allah's work. They were deeply deceived, giving themselves to a demonic, destructive cause. This is what they read before the suicide acts. We know it because, according to everything I read, one of these documents was found in the hotel room of one of the terrorists, the suicide bombers, and he followed through. They're supposed to shave your whole body or purify yourself to get ready to meet God and so on, and they found evidence of that in the room. That's what these guys did. This is what they thought they were doing. Purify your soul from all unclean things. Completely forget something called this world or this life. The time for play is over and the serious time is upon us. How much time have we wasted in our lives? Shouldn't we take advantage of these last hours to offer good deeds and obedience? I mean, in another context, many of us would say, amen. But in this context, it reminds us of a sad reality. These men were more committed to evil than most of us are committed to good. More serious about their faith in an unhealthy way than most of us are about our faith in a healthy way. What would happen if we were as devoted to restoration as they were to destruction? If we were as committed to saving lives as they were to destroying lives? By the way, if you want to weigh in on this as well, feel free. If you want to weigh in on the devotion of some people to evil, which puts to shame often our devotion to good, people's devotion to destroy lives versus our devotion to saving lives, if you want to weigh in on that as well, we can talk about that too, 866-348-7884. But in particular, my question that I'm putting out, and we'll start to get to the calls in a few minutes, why should we fast? Why, as New Testament believers, should we fast? What power is there in prayer and fasting? Mahatma Gandhi once said, a reformer has to sail not with the current. Very often he has to go against it, even though it may cost him his life. Yet some of us aren't willing to stand up for what is right if it might cost us our reputation, let alone our lives. Our soldiers, of course, are a notable exception to this as they risk their lives for freedom. Perhaps we find it too difficult to compare our commitment to good to the jihadist commitment to evil. I mean, fanatics killing themselves to kill others. How can we compare ourselves to that for good? Okay, I understand that maybe so horrific you can't even think of a comparison. So how about this? 2001, Minnesota Vikings player Corey Stringer died in practice. You know, the NFL, the teams, they push in practice. Some of these guys are really big. The linemen are really big and hot weather. He died in practice. After that, NFL star Grant Wistrom said this, quote, we play a rough game, and none of us in the NFL got this far by being cautious with our bodies. One reason I do what I do is that I'm willing to sacrifice and work when things are hard, whether I'm hot, hurt, or fatigued. I take pride in my ability to plow through discomfort. That's what makes me a football player. So, A football player dies of complications related to heat stroke. And another player explains, hey, we didn't get this far by being cautious with our bodies. In other words, it's possible we might get hurt or even die, but that's what makes us football players. And we cheer them for their courage. For what? For a football game. Can we stir ourselves to rise higher? Can we make a determination to swim against the tide, to go against the grain, and to accept discomfort and even hardship for doing what is right and good? You say, well, I mean, what can I do? Well, unless you have a health issue, you can fast, and every one of us can pray. And that's the most powerful thing we can do. Back with your calls. We're going to focus on fasting when we return.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Are you aware that there's an attack now from the American Atheist Foundation on the 17-foot relic cross, which was found amidst the rubble at the World Trade Center? This would be displayed in the museum. This cross, which is basically pieces of metal, emerged as a symbol of hope. Liberty Alert sent this out, Liberty Council. The cross is a symbol of hope amidst the total destruction of Ground Zero. The lawsuit is further evidence of the war on Christianity in America. The 9/11 cross survived the terrorist attack by Muslim extremists, and it will survive the cultural attack by radical secularists. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH. 3487884. Weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. That's A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Again, my question, why should we fast? Or do you have a testimony in your own life of a breakthrough that only came when you gave yourself to fasting and prayer? Can I remind you that not only did Moses on two occasions spend 40 days in the presence of God on Mount Sinai fasting? That was supernatural. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. I just want to point out that he did that in the presence of God. And Jesus, Yeshua, not in that same supernatural way, was fasting in the wilderness before he entered into his public ministry. He was baptized. He was immersed, went down in the waters of the Jordan, and then went from there into the wilderness for 40 days, fasting. And at the end of it, he was hungry. He was not supernaturally empowered to go without food and drink, as Moses was on Mount Sinai. But he abstained from food. Why? Why? And then Paul spoke about fasting in his own life. Was it just because they didn't have food, or was there something spiritual to it? And then remember, Jesus says, and there are, of course, other examples of fasting in Scripture, many, many, many. The book of Esther, the most dramatic of them all on a national level. But remember that Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talks about when you give, when you pray, when you fast. It was the custom of the Pharisees to fast 2 days a week, which would at the least mean not eating until after sunset or not eating until dinner time. It could mean 24 hours for others. But they fasted 2 days a week. That was the custom, as we're aware of it, that probably prevailed in Jesus' day as well. And Jesus said, when you fast, assuming that we would. But why? Let's understand the power and importance of this. If we do, we can give ourselves to the greatest power of all. Let's start with Lynette in Wyandanche on Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Brown. I've been praying, and I've been enjoying this program so much, and I've been praying to have wisdom to keep this testimony nice and short so everybody else can share theirs. But
thank you.
I believe that we should pray and fast because Jesus once answered his critics, who said, why don't your disciples pray and fast? like others do. And he said, well, the bridegroom is still here. And when he had gone, then they would fast. So this gives us an idea that this is definitely a New Testament encouragement to us directly
Absolutely.
From Jesus. As you said also, by his own example, he understood the need and the importance for prayer and fasting before engaging in his powerful ministry. And my testimony is that at one point I had the privilege of working with a group of other ministers in a youth crusade, and the godson of the director of the crusade lived near me, so my mother and I were transporting him back and forth to Queens each night for the crusade. And he was the one person, while all of the other teens were going forward to the altar, he was the one who was always running out of the church and running down the streets of Queens, and there I was running behind him to to try and find out what the problem was. And so he looked at me. I did catch up with him, and he looked at me, and it was extremely evil, the way he was speaking. I could sense that this was definitely demonic in nature. And also the what he said, besides the way that he said it, what he said reminded me exactly of how Satan in the Bible said, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend, and I will. It was a list of things that he was not going to do. I will not go forward.
Lynette,
I will
get saved. Hang on. I hate to interrupt because you've got me listening very carefully, but we've got a break coming up. Are you able to hold on for a little while?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Oh, okay. Can I just ask?
I'm almost finished too.
All right. So just in short, though, and then we'll get more details on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Just in short, it was prayer and fasting that brought about a miraculous result. That's what I'm assuming the punchline is going to be. All right.
Exactly
awesome. I want to hear more, but for those leaving us at this half hour, I wanted to just say a few things, and then you can listen online and get the full details of Lynette's story. Fasting has so many different functions. It's a discipline. It's a form of self-denial and saying no to the lusts and pulls of this world on the most fundamental level. It is an aspect of separation because we are saying no to different things in our lives to better separate ourselves to God. It's an expression of desperation. That I am so desperate to see an answer breakthrough, I'm putting aside everything else, even the most fundamental desires and needs of the flesh, to go after God. For many, it heightens spiritual connection. When I fast, during the times of fasting themselves, I often struggle. I often do not have good prayer times. I often find reading the Bible to be dull. Others have the exact opposite. Normally after the fast, the flood comes, and the revelation comes, and the impact comes. But for me, the fast is mainly a time of self-denial, but it's an expression of desperation, and often that's when the breakthrough comes. Okay, we've talked about the power of evil. Do you know that Jesus can save the worst of terrorists, and Jesus can save a Satanist serial killer? I'm talking about David Berkowitz, the latter, a Satanist serial killer, terrorized New York City 25 years ago, notorious Son of Sam, for many years in prison for the rest of his life. He is now the Son of Hope. We have an extraordinary DVD that'll bless you and edify you and encourage you. It's been shown widely in jails and to young people. It's great for the whole family. It's an eye-opener. From Son of Sam to Son of Hope, we've reduced the price. We're paying the postage, just $10. For the DVD, trust me, it'll be worth every penny and 10 times that. Give us a call to order, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, when there's nothing else, when there's nothing else we can do, when there is nothing else, no solution, no hope, no answer, no way out, we're often driven to do what we should have been doing all along, which is give ourselves to prayer and fasting. There are often seasons we go through where every earthly solution fails, and we find ourselves backed into a corner, and then we start to do what we should have done from the start, which is seek God and cry out to God and look to the Lord. I've been faced with some situations where we need to see miraculous breakthroughs, and I know the number one thing I can do is get alone with God and seek His face, and then give myself to times of fasting and prayer for breakthroughs. Not to earn something. It's an expression of desperation. It's commonly done in Scripture for a number of reasons that we will continue to explore on this anniversary of 9/11 as we reflect on the power of evil and sin and demonically driven people. We want to reflect on the power of God available to us in prayer and fasting. Hey, can I just make an announcement to everyone? For some reason, after years and years of broadcasting, this is the first time I'm making the announcement, but today it just came up that a good number of folks calling wanted to get through had bad connections. The quality was so poor, we couldn't put you in the queue to get on the show. And if you're using a cell phone, When you call to speak to us, so that if you're driving in New York City, you may have to pull over to the side of the road. If you're using a Bluetooth or a speakerphone, it's very rare that the quality is going to be good enough. I mean, you can try to call in like that, but if you're driving in a city where it's illegal to be holding the phone in your hand and you have to be using a Bluetooth or something like that, when it is time to connect, we may need you to pull over. Or if you can use a better connection, it's going to be better for everyone. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, we're back to Lynette and Wyandanche on Long Island talking about a situation with your godson. An altar call in church, he runs out the door, makes clear, speaking as if he's demonically empowered, that he will not go forward. He will not respond. You see clearly the presence of evil in dealing with him. All right, what did you do and what happened, Lynette?
Okay. He was the godson of the director of the crusade.
Ah, got it. Sorry. Thank
right.
you.
Okay. And so I went home. I caught up with him. He came back into the church after the altar call, as usual. And so my mother and I took him back home. And then I wasn't really praying. I was fussing at God, basically. What was wrong with the director? What was wrong with the crusade? What was wrong with the young man? I just basically went down the list and heard nothing from God until I said, well, it couldn't possibly be anything wrong with me. And that was when I distinctly felt the Lord impressing me to just pray and fast, even just one meal, namely lunchtime the next day. Pray and fast one meal, and just leave him to the Lord, mm-hmm. and that there was going to be a breakthrough that night.
Wow.
And my faith was not really strong. I was wearing heels at the time. I wore lower heels just in case I'd have to run down the streets of Queens after him again.
Oh,
but I was obedient to pray and fast that one meal. And that night at the crusade, there were even more waves of young people coming forward to the altar than ever before, and I was walking, trying to walk across to pray with another young person, and I felt something at my feet blocking me, and it was him.
Wow. All right, listen, I got to jump in, but it was that simple? It was that simple? God prompted me to skip a meal, pray, and the breakthrough came? Come on.
Fire we want, for fire we.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Why should we fast? What's the purpose of it? Is it a matter of works? You know, if we starve ourselves, God will answer us. Is it a matter of making us more spiritual? Is it actually of any effect? Is it just a discipline? Why do we fast? What's the power of it? I want to say clearly in my own life over the years that I have been driven to fast by desperation. Sometimes it's been a discipline to separate myself from certain things, and on a regular basis, I do fast certain foods I would like to, but, you know, that's just a matter of trying to eat in a more healthy way. I enjoy being disciplined and saying no to certain things. In other ways, I have not given myself to fasting in some years the way I used to years back, and by God's grace, I want to adjust that. But what's driven me primarily is desperation that I have to break through. And I know that the ultimate expression to God of my desperation and the ultimate way to separate myself from everything in this world is to say no ultimately to food or for a season food and drink and to cry out to Him. And some of the greatest changes that have taken place in my life have taken place as a result of prayer and fasting. In 1988, I went on a 21-day water fast, praying for the fire to fall at meetings I was going to speak at in Israel, really one meeting primarily. And God did move, but let me tell you, the fire primarily fell on me. It became a great season of purging and humbling and purification and transformation in my own life. And the release that followed was glorious. I would dare say that many of the things I'm doing today even go back to the release that came out of that time of fasting and then further fasting in early 89 that led to just some extraordinary releases to write and to minister and to be used by God in the midst of revival. It's not anything that we earn, but there's something extraordinary to it. 866-34-TRUTH. Norman in Falls Church, Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, hello?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay. So recently I was fasting for a confirmation of whether or not to join the worship band. You know, obviously, like, just joining the worship band would obviously be a blessing. But for me, I needed, like, a real confirmation to know that God was going to use me in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I didn't get anything. And I was like, God, like, help me. And I was already fasting and I was praying. And, like, for me, whenever I fast, for some reason I can hear God's voice more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, he'd always talk to me about someone else, about other people, about what they were going through, about what they needed help in. And I was like, God, what about me? You know, I felt so selfish always asking for what was my intention. But then he told me, I want you to be a worship leader. And, like, he spiritually taught me how to play piano. I've never taken a piano lesson in my life, but
uh-huh.
I've actually been able to play piano by ear, and, like, just by listening to a song fluently after, like, one time, I can play a song almost completely. And I asked God, like, is this for you? And he said, yes. Like, I want you to learn, but I need you to also be fully focused on me. And for me, it was, like, this great experience to know that, like, God will listen to you if you fast, because in the Bible it says, like, deny yourself and take up your cross. You know, Jesus tells us to do that. And if you don't do that, then for me it was always, like, if you don't do that, then you're going to be back in the world. And I never wanted that. I don't want that for my life, and I don't want that for my family. So whenever I get a chance to fast for myself or for anyone else, I always do it. And, like, recently, because the elections are coming up, me and my friend were both going to fast for 10 days to figure out or to pray about who we should vote for, but also to pray that God will put the right person in power.
Yeah, and, you know, Norman, I think it's so honorable that you take these things so seriously. I'm not even talking about the elections right now, although that's a very honorable thing to give yourselves to fasting and prayer for the elections as well as for your own involvement. But just to fast and pray about being on the worship team, most people would think, great, open door, and sometimes it's that simple. But other times, it's so good to say, Lord, I just want to do your will. I just don't want to jump. And as you said, when you fast, it's part of self-denial, but it helps you to hear God's voice more clearly. And it really makes a statement to the Lord, too, doesn't it, in terms of seriousness. Norman, thanks for sharing it. That's so helpful.
Yeah.
And may the Lord bless you and your friend as you press in prayer and fasting. 866-34-TRUTH. Celeste in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello,
yes,
Celeste.
Hi, thank you.
Yes.
So I'm here. I was just trying to get some space where I could pull over. Thanks again for taking my call. And I thank you for having such an important topic today. Fasting is something I certainly do quite frequently because I know the importance of fasting. One of the things that I do is called a surrender fast. Mm-hmm. And I do it. I've been doing it since 2010. The first time I did it was in 2010. Actually, in 2007, I had breast cancer. And I really felt the Holy Spirit nudging me to change my diet because I knew that part of, there's a connection between diet and disease. So, mm-hmm. But I, for 3 years, just neglected to change my diet. And then one Saturday, after hearing a preacher give the word, I just told the Lord that I surrendered and I was going to give up my diet for 40 days because I had just been reading about Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days. So I did the 40-day fast, and somewhere between what you said was so profound because in the middle of it or in the beginning of the fasting, you don't necessarily get a lot of revelation from God. You're just kind of, at least I was, miserable.
That's how it is for, yeah, Celeste, just to jump in. I mean, sure. I remember hearing Derek Prince or reading when he said when he fasted, his mind got much more clear spiritually, and the word was much, got much greater revelation. Reading the word, much more intimacy in prayer. For me, it's been the same thing, especially the earlier part of a fast when you're hungry all the time.
Yeah.
It's like I feel like there's a constant prayer going up to God because I'm always hungry. I'm conscious of the fact that I'm fasting for a purpose. But yeah, I tend to hear after the fast, and during the fast is more of a discipline of separation. For those that like fasting is wonderful, and I hear like Norman who just called, hearing the voice of God more clearly, man, that's awesome. But okay, I just wanted to chime in there. Go ahead, Celeste.
I love it. I love it. And I really did it just the way you said it so perfectly. It was an expression of the desperation. I couldn't do it on my own. I just said, God, I'm going to surrender my diet. So I took all my meats out, all my sugars out for 40 days. And then somewhere around day 31, 32, I sensed the Holy Spirit saying, you're going to be a vegetarian. So that is my testimony that fasting works. I would never have thought in a million years that I would be 2 years into being a vegetarian. I limit my sugars. I watch my diet. And it was just really because of the fasting. And then even now, I lead other people in this 40-day surrender fast, and we're actually going to be fasting on Monday. So I'm hoping that people can hear a repeat of this program if they didn't hear it today, because I think this is just fantastic that you devoted the time to fasting.
Yeah, thanks, Celeste. And folks, just go to askdrbrown.org and click on the Line of Fire, and you'll see a listing of recent shows, and it's available. Folks can listen to it online or download it. So askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Thanks for sharing that, Celeste.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure thing. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I want to come back and hear from more of you. But first, let me just go quickly to Brooklyn. Our friend Sarah, so nice to hear from you again.
Yes, it's so nice, and thank you, and bless you, and I'm 24-hour, I'm on a reading, not a reading fast, but I'm on a reading, reading 24 hours of your beautiful material. But wanted to say that in my journey, I had a tumor ready for hysterectomy, and I went to God led me to a doctor. Now I can say Yeshua Jesus. He told me to follow a program, and 1 year it was gone. But then I went to work for him. He was one of the foremost fasting authorities in the country. Mm. And people came and stayed in bed. We gave them a journal to write their experiences. There was no showering. They just were on water. no showering, no movement, stayed in bed, and wrote their experiences not only physically, they came for physical healing, emotional and spiritual healing, and they wrote their journal. And then they stayed, we broke their fast, they still had to stay in bed. So I wanted to share, when you're fasting, it's very important not to be completely immobile. And not to walk around. If you have, of course, you, that's a hard assignment for you, possibly.
Hey, Sarah, let me just jump in, but stay there. I wanted to say something to you on the other side of the break that will encourage you. So just keep listening right there. We'll be back, and I'll fill you in as to who Sarah is for those who don't know. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, before we go back to more of your calls about fasting, I just wanted to introduce Sarah to you. She called us within the last 2 weeks, and Sarah, I want you to know it was one of the more memorable calls we ever received. She's 88. When she turned 88, July 31st, there was someone knocking at her door, and she found out it was Jesus Yeshua, an Orthodox Jewish woman in Brooklyn. And Sarah, I just want you to know that folks were so touched by your call. One woman was listening in Hawaii, and she had to pull over to the side of the road and because she was crying so much when she heard your testimony. And many others have been blessed by your story. So, Sarah, I just had one quick question for you. How is it that you came to listen to this broadcast?
I came to listen to the broadcast because since Jesus knocked on the door of my heart, I found WMCA 570, and it was the Christian radio station. I started to listen to it, and there was the awesome, how can you describe, Dr. Michael Brown. And that's how I came to know you. I was led to you through Yeshua Jesus to find you and to learn the real kosher Jesus. That's
Sarah,
how I found you.
Well, God bless you. I'm just smiling broadly, and I'm so glad you got our books. We'll stay in touch with you, and as soon as you finish those, we'll send you more. And love to connect you with other believers in the Brooklyn area. So thanks for calling. Stay in touch with us.
Yes, I just want to say, I have to say this to everybody, and I'm going to start crying for joy, to discover my true identity of who am I. I'm an image of God and a likeness, and I can feel it. I can feel it when I wake up in the morning, to discover who you truly are, a divine consciousness. And you live and you have your being in a divine mind. And now, just like you're the perfect model, Dr. Brown, to be a beneficial presence in the world.
Oh, well, Sarah, God bless you. And our goal, of course, is to point everyone to Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, so that God can be glorified and our people can come to know him. Sarah, you've got many friends out there that you've never met, and they're praying for you. Thanks for calling again.
God bless. Thank you, everybody.
God bless you. Whoa, amazing. Just amazing. Sarah is reading 24 hours the materials that we sent her. Is this a privilege, an honor to be involved in ministering to folks like this? Amazing. All right, Iris in Farmingdale on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Iris.
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. This was a while ago. My brother-in-law wanted to start a business, and he didn't have the cash or the credit. So he wanted to apply for a loan, and he asked my husband to join him in the loan so they would split the money. And my husband agreed because we were looking to buy a home. We had put down $15,000 on the on the home, and we promised the bank that we would give him the rest as soon as the other loan went through. My brother-in-law, halfway through the loan, he changes his mind.
Mm.
And I said to myself, oh, my goodness, if this man changes his mind, that means that we're going to lose the $15,000 that we put down on the house. And where are we going to be? Because it took us a little bit to save that money. So I started praying heavily. I started praying like I've never prayed before, because like you said before, we have our back to the wall. And about 2 days into praying, I heard the Lord say to me, give me 3 days of fasting and prayer, and you shall see my hand move.
Mm.
Because my brother-in-law was adamant. He refused, no matter who talked to him. He said no. He didn't want the headache. He had changed his mind. And I was beside myself. So I got up and I fasted the first day. I fasted the second day. Halfway through the second day of fasting, I get a phone call from my husband. He goes, honey, I don't know what happened, but he changed his mind again, and he's going to go through with the loan, and we're back in business. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And the third day, I got up and fasted that third day. And both loans went through, and here we are.
You know, Iris, as you're saying that, I'm just reminded by how stubborn and unbelieving I can sometimes be, and probably others as well, that rather than recognizing God is the one who can touch people. I mean,
yeah.
We try so hard, we make every effort. And of course, there are things we're required to do, but
right.
I'm thinking of what the Puritan Thomas Watson said when the early believers were praying without ceasing for Peter to be released from prison so he
yes.
wouldn't be martyred. And the angel of the Lord came and delivered him. Thomas Watson said this, it was the angel that fetched Peter from prison,
yeah.
but it was mm-hmm. prayer that fetched the angel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah amen. You touched God in obedience. He makes it
yeah.
so easy. And then
mm-hmm.
God touched this man. And as you said, here you are. Hey, thank you for that testimony. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. God bless you.
God bless. Hey, listen, friends. We are out of time in this hour, but I am continuing to press in on this subject about prayer and fasting and open it up further in the next hour. If you're holding on the line, if you can hold a few minutes later, I'm going to go to calls very early in the next hour. I really want to hear your story, your testimony. This way it can be shared with a whole lot more people. So stay with us and look, do what God puts in your heart. If you've never fasted, why not cut a certain thing out of your diet? Or why not just skip a meal or take a step or say, oh, okay, I won't have breakfast, I won't have lunch. Now, again, sometimes schedule is such and there are physical demands, so we use wisdom. At the same time, God gives grace to fast and God can empower us to fast. And then there's an awesome joy that comes with it. And a separation that comes with it and breakthroughs that come with it. So what is it that's most pressing in your life? Let's give ourselves to prayer and fasting and see what God will do. Also, let me encourage you that any life can be changed no matter how lost. Get this DVD. We've reduced the price, $10, and we're paying the postage, $10 postage paid. It's a DVD our ministry put out a few years back from Son of Sam to Son of Hope, the extraordinary testimony of salvation of David Berkowitz, who is a notorious satanic Son of Sam killer, now an extraordinarily used, blessed child of God with brokenness for his deeds in the past, but serving others in prison and beyond as an extraordinary example. Trust me, this DVD will bless you. 1-800-278-9978 to order. Take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978 or online, ask DrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, there are things in God, there are breakthroughs that will only come through prayer and fasting. Let's take the step. Let's give ourselves to prayer and fasting and watch what God will do. On the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, I want to talk to you about a more powerful force. Most powerful force of all, the power of prayer and fasting.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, as we reflect on this anniversary of the tragic 9/11 terrorist attacks, an anniversary that's still a very open wound for many of you listening, we send you our condolences and our prayer for grace and strength and for everything Satan meant for evil, for God to bring hope and life and even restoration to each of you who were affected directly. But as we reflect on this day, it's important to recognize that we are in a battle. We are in a war, but it's spiritual. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is spiritual. And the greatest weapon that we have is not a weapon of mass destruction. It's not a gun. It's not a knife. It's not the media, and it's not some other tool that we have. The greatest weapon that we have is the weapon of prayer and fasting. We're going to focus on that. For the next hour, I want to explain to you scripturally some of the reasons for fasting, some of the effectiveness of fasting, and I want to hear from you. If you have a testimony of prayer and fasting, if you have a testimony in your own life where prayer and fasting made the difference, we were hearing some testimonies in the last hour, and we're going to keep it going in the second hour, or if you can explain the significance and importance of prayer and fasting, I'd love to hear from you. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or you can join the discussion already taking place on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. I had two questions about this last week. In fact, the last two on the last page of e-questions, I answered all the e-questions I wanted to get to last Friday, except these two, and they were right next to each other. And I thought, I need to focus on fasting for a whole show. That's what we're doing. And I say whole show, I mean all 2 hours, because there's so much to say about this. And I, for one, need to be freshly stirred to give myself to more fasting. As I said in the first hour, years back, fasting played a more predominant role in my life, more regularly fasting for 3 or 4 or 5 days on water, or one time for 21 days on water, or fasting always one day a week and things like that. I've gotten away from that over the years. I can't tell you exactly why, but I have. And even though I've been disciplined in my lifestyle, and I fast certain things for life. I've given up certain things, foods or drink or different things. You know, I used to drink Diet Coke and that kind of stuff, just quit that for life. But in other ways, I need to stir myself afresh to press in more in fasting. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm encouraging all of us. Mike wrote this: reading the word, prayer, and fasting, as we can see in the scriptures, are key practices for a healthy relationship with the Lord. Now, my question is about fasting. Dr. Brown, what is the purpose of fasting? What's the right way of doing so? And then Christian, I had a question I mentioned before. I've been listening to your podcast only for a short period of time. Please forgive me if you already answered some of my questions in past shows. My question is about fasting. What is fasting in the Lord really for? What is the proper way to fast? Can you please give me any information in Scripture, even Jewish tradition, on how or what a fast was and is good for? I have an idea of what it is, but I would appreciate if you can give me your point of view. Keep fighting the good fight. I'm really happy to have found your ministry. I'd long awaited a Jewish Christian to put forth the word of God and Jesus, how you do, and had not found one. I thank God for making you mighty in the word, wisdom, and knowledge. This is Christian from Toronto. Hey, there are a whole bunch of us out there, Christian, but glad you found us. All right, we come back. I want to hear some of your own testimonies, how God used fasting and prayer in your own life, and then I want to share some important principles about fasting as the show goes on. You're in the right place. Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there have been times, friends, when I've been prompted to fast for something that was a stronghold that seems so difficult, so impossible. And in a short period of time, everything changed. You kind of kick yourself. Oh, the answers were there. The grace is available. God wants to bless and answer. And yet he works with us. He works with us. One of the ways he works with us is prayer and fasting. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Is there any more powerful example in all of Scripture than the book of Esther? This was a total fast. 3 days and three nights, no food and no water. I have gone maybe into the second day with no water, and then up to 21 days on water only. And then sometimes X number of days with water and then juice after that, just in terms of fasting I had done, especially some years back. But three full days without food and water I've never done. But my friends that have done it tell me you're pretty desperate at the end of it. Now, is this some exercise where God's torturing us or we torture ourselves? Or is it saying, I am so desperate for an answer. I am abstaining from even the most fundamental things that my body wants and needs to just go after God. The goal is not to hurt your health. The goal is not to damage yourself. But look, if I was really serious about fasting and prayer, and if you have a testimony to share about the power of fasting and prayer, call me so you can share it with our listening audience, 866-348-7884. If I said, hey, I'm really, really serious about breaking through in prayer, I just got a call that someone's in critical condition and they need prayer, I really want to see a breakthrough, I'm so concerned about them, you say, well, Mike, why are you sitting there watching two games of Monday Night Football? Which, by the way, I didn't watch any Monday Night Football, but I watched some Sunday football, all right? I'm not trying to make myself holy. I'm just making a point, all right? Give me a little slack. Mike, if you're so desperate about seeing a breakthrough, this is just a hypothetical situation. You know, someone's in a life and death situation. Oh, yeah, man, I'll pray. Yeah, we're with you. And then I'm sitting there watching 4 or 6 hours of football. Well, obviously, I'm not that concerned, am I? Yeah, I'm going to give myself to prayer for life and death. All right, we need a breakthrough in the next half hour. You got it. Oh, let me just catch up on some of the Facebook posts here. And I'll give my status update. And oh, get some texts. Oh, that's a funny little joke. Obviously, I'm not serious. With fasting, it is taking that to a higher level and saying no to everything else. And then as much as possible, taking the time, the energy that would have gone to food and drink and putting that towards seeking the face of God. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go to the phones. I want us to be encouraged, edified, challenged. William in Beaumont, Texas. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Okay. I want to point out some things. About when I was fasting, a lot of times God shows us it's pretty clear what God wants us to do, and we can often see it at times. So when trying to get revealed for what God wants us to do, sometimes we may have to fast and separate ourselves from people. And I know in some of my cases, I've had to lock myself in the closet and pray in tongues and, you know, just really put myself in the position to be focused. Mm. And after God had revealed it to me, you know, it gave me peace of mind, and I was happy. I was delightful, and after I got the revelations, I was hungry for more, and I began thirsty, and I wanted more. So it put me in a great and well position to enable myself to stay in at a consistent flow.
I understand.
Just to make right at the Lord and just be on the same page with Him.
Right. So you know that whole thing you said about separation and focus, that there's that aspect of fasting that brings separation, and then during that separation from food or from food and drink or from certain foods, that in the midst of that, more focused prayer. And yeah, I mean, literally going in a room and shutting the door. And for me, I've got to push the laptop away. I've got to put the cell phone away, get everything else out of the way, and then just focus. It's key. And look, really, what kind of relationship do we have with someone when we're distracted? And William, thank you for the call. Nancy was talking about something with me today, and I realized that the alarm was going to go off on my phone in a minute. So just to be proactive, I just picked up the phone to turn the alarm off without saying to Nancy, oh, hang on, let me do this. And we were right in the middle of talking. She was saying something, and she said to me, why'd you just pick up the phone? I said, I'm sorry. I went to turn the alarm off. Of course, I should have said, hey, hon, 1 second, let me just shut the alarm on this phone before it goes off. But I mean, we're in a conversation. We're in the midst of a conversation. That's not time to pick up the phone and look at, you know, that's how we are with God, though. We are so distracted. We got a great call from a pastor in D.C. yesterday when I was talking about what's holding us back, what hinders us from really breaking through. One of the points he made was that we are so distracted. When you fast, there's a certain constant reminder, especially if you're one of those that feels hungry all the time when you fast, or if you do a long fast in the earlier days, you'll feel it. The fact that you're feeling hungry, for me, that's a constant reminder of whatever it is that I'm requesting from God in prayer. In other words, I feel like my whole life is now going up in a prayer, even when I'm not praying. Does that make sense? Because I'm consciously saying no to other things and feeling that hunger, and I'm directing that towards God, saying, this is how serious I am, Father. Answer, come through, break through. And it's a reminder of the powerlessness of our own flesh and the powerlessness of our best efforts and our dependence on God. Gina in Plainfield, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
I just want to say amen to Sarah's testimony about discovering herself through God. Was the discovery at 88 years old?
At 88 years old, yeah. This was a caller from the last hour, Sarah from Brooklyn, and we've replayed her testimony call from a couple of weeks ago, so many people are hearing the amazing story of how Jesus came knocking at the door of her heart, I believe July 31st, when she turned 88 as an Orthodox Jewish woman in Brooklyn.
Yeah, an amazing story. I just want to say that I definitely fast for breakthroughs, and this month, for September, the pastor of my church has called for each member to fast, fast in whatever way they decide to fast, whatever it is, and God placed in my heart the thought of fasting in terms of stopping the things that I'm not doing, or I would like for people to think of fasting in terms of stopping the things that you're not doing or that you're not doing enough of. And one of the things for me is I am a health fanatic. I'm a vegan. I've exercised all my life, but as of late, I have not been exercising like I had been in the past. And that is something that has always made me feel wonderful. It heightens my awareness. It just makes me feel good, and it makes me feel good in doing God's work. So in terms of fasting, in terms of stopping the things I'm not doing, exercise is one of them. Or just things that we're not doing enough of. If you're not doing enough things, if you're not doing enough reading of the Bible, if you're not doing enough worshiping, if you're not doing enough praising, I think that focus and attention on that is a way of fasting. I really do.
Just to jump in, mm-hmm. there are many different ways we can fast. I mean, principally, there is an abstaining from food. Principally, there's an abstaining from niceties that we normally give ourselves to. It can be a complete abstaining, no food, no water, for a very limited period of time. 3 days is the maximum in Scripture, though Moses was supernaturally supported for 40 days. But otherwise, for a limited period of time, no food, no water, I mean, no liquids. There's fasting, which is water only. There's fasting, which is juice and water. There's fasting where you abstain from certain favorite foods for periods of time. In fact, I'll tell you about a Daniel fast, folks, when we come back, an amazing story. And then, of course, there are other disciplines we can bring in our lives. But Gina, again, what jumps out to me is fasting for breakthroughs. Fasting for breakthroughs. Perhaps there are things in your own life that will not turn until you give yourself to God in fasting and prayer. We'll be back. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me tell you an amazing story about Daniel Fast, 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about the power of prayer and fasting on this anniversary of 9/11 today. There is a Christian young man named Brian, Korean-American, who went on an extended, quote, Daniel fast. You say, what's that? Well, in the book of Daniel, one account of his fasting, he abstained from certain niceties. It would be like someone who's a real meat eater and who loves desserts saying, okay, I'm not going to have meat or desserts for the next month. Well, this young man, Brian, had either 1 or 2 year commitment he made to the Lord, no meats and no sweets. And it was the last day of his commitment of what's called a Daniel fast. And he already had planned out the dessert, chocolate dessert he was getting, this, you know, sweet thing he really liked. He had it all planned out. And he said, Lord, I'm going to break this fast today unless you speak to me to continue it. And he's out somewhere, he meets a young man. Hi, what's your name? Brian. What's your name? Daniel fast. True story. Convicted by the Lord, he continued the fast. And it was in the midst of this that God spoke to him about life tape, an abortion protest with life tape on the mouths of the protesters as they stood in front of the abortion clinics, red tape on their mouths with the word life, and then they just gave themselves to prayer. Friends, it has helped launch a movement and a message and a methodology that's had an amazing impact and spread far and wide. It came out of an extended separation to God. Who knows what could happen if we heard his voice? Again, start wherever you are. Take whatever step you can. And those who have more experience in prayer and fasting, see if the Lord puts it on your heart afresh, because we are living in desperate times. 866-34-TRUTH. I'd love to hear your own story or testimony. George in Fort Fairfield, Maine, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. I do want to comment on fasting. I just want to let you know also that this morning I woke up, this 11th anniversary of 9/11, with thoughts of your wife, Nancy, on my mind.
Thank you so much. Yeah, she lost her brother that day. That's very kind of you. Thank you so much. I'll pass that on to her.
My experience with fasting is that I was a failure at it, and it was over a year and a half ago. I felt two reasons. I needed healing in my life, and I needed to have an appreciation for food. I was saying blessings before a meal, but I didn't really feel like I had an attitude of gratitude. And so I went into fasting, and I started to read scripture, and I was fortunate where I was getting moved by scripture, like the words were lifting off the pages, mm-hmm. and it was like I wasn't even reading words, it was like meanings were coming to my mind, and the thought of food, feeding the flesh, got further and further away, and I was, I got to the point after a while that I had an upcoming procedure, and I was like fearful. I thought, I have to eat, I have to have nourishment, now, you know. And it was like just the opposite. I thought I was going to have a ravenous appetite, so I'd be appreciative for food and say a blessing with, you know, the right attitude. And instead, I had a ravenous appetite for the word. And so then I finally had to start praying to God, you know, God, allow me to eat again. I have to feed this flesh. And I did end the fast, and I went through the procedure. And when I came out of anesthesia, during anesthesia in the recovery room, I knew I was saying something, but I didn't know what. But the surgical team was standing around me, and they had smiles on their faces. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what did I say? How did I embarrass myself? And one of the nurses, well, the doctor, the surgeon said, well, you were reciting scripture. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I wonder if I, you know, dishonored the Lord. What was I saying? I don't memorize scripture. I could never really memorize it or commit it to memory, at least up until that point. But one of the nurses was a believer, and she said, oh, no, you were reciting scripture. And a lot of the verses, I guess, was about the bread of life, Jesus being the bread of life.
Amazing.
And she said it was like verbatim that they had never seen anything, witnessed anything like that, where somebody coming out of state of unconsciousness just reciting fluently scripture. And yeah, I was just, and ever since then, it's given me a comfort that if I am in a state of hunger, that I can always turn to the Bible. And even now, there's times when we might have a good meal and fellowship, Christian fellowship, and I realize that's feeding the flesh, but then there's time to feed the spirit, and I just want to hear the word of God.
You know, George, excuse me, that's a unique testimony on a few lines. The fact that you failed fasting before, you know, that's happened to many of us, but to go on a fast to gain a greater appreciation for food, to be more thankful for it, that's unique. But it just seems that perhaps that was an angle God planted in your mind to get you to do it. And then in the midst of it, the word becomes your food. You're feasting on it, getting revelation. And then without consciously memorizing scripture, it's obviously getting down into you deeply enough that you come out of surgery and you're quoting scripture. Hey, that's amazing. That's the Lord.
It was transformational because now even we were just the other day trying to decide what to have for lunch, and now I have like such an appreciation. I'm thinking, how blessed are we that we can actually decide what are we going to eat? We have such a full pantry, and that not only are we deciding what to eat for this meal, but we had a meal earlier in the day, and we're going to have a meal later in the day. There's some
right.
people that don't eat all day.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, and George, just got to jump in because I've got a break coming up. But may the Lord continue to make you grateful for what you have and able to abstain from it and separate yourself. But thank you, sir, for sharing that. And thanks for the kind words for Nancy as well. I'm going to take more calls on the other side of the break. I want to share a personal testimony about prayer and fasting when we come back, as well as think through some more of the scriptural principles involved. Let me read again from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There was a spiritual battle for the life of David Berkowitz. For a period of time, Satan won that battle, and David became the son of Sam, New York's most notorious serial killer. When he was arrested, I remember seeing his picture, and I thought, he's a monster. It was around 1977 or so. I remember thinking, he's a monster. When I heard that he had gotten saved in prison, I have to confess, I questioned it, thought another jailhouse conversion. Well, this is a radical Jesus conversion. When David's opportunity for parole come up every year, when the opportunities come up, however many years, he'll always write a letter saying, I don't deserve parole, I destroy other lives, I deserve to be behind bars. And behind bars, his testimony has gone out, not through the prison alone, but around the world. We have an extraordinary DVD, From Son of Sam to Son of Hope. We've reduced the price and we're paying the postage, just $10, postage paid. Get this DVD. You will not be disappointed. From Son of Sam to Son of Hope. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore or call this number right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on this anniversary of September 11th. It's a day that shook our nation. It's a day that, for many, continues to live on in the pain of lost lives. It's a day that brings up the fresh wound in Nancy's life, the loss of her brother that day at the World Trade Center. And it's a day on which, for me, when I reflect on the power of evil, when I reflect on what people can do when they give themselves, without regard to their own well-being, when they give themselves for a destructive cause, the destruction they can bring, it makes me say, what can we do when we give ourselves to God for the cause of life and salvation? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And what I'm focusing on today is not activism. What I'm focusing on today is not Islam. What I'm focusing on today is not, well, you've got jihadists and terrorists. We should be gospel preachers. Of course we should be. I'm focusing on the thing that we can do, which can have the greatest impact on the world, and that is prayer and fasting. Now, please hear me. Prayer and fasting without obedience to the word in other areas will fall short. Prayer and fasting without us doing what we know how to do, without us being, in that sense, God's hand to touch a hurting, dying world, will only go so far. But as I quoted earlier today on the air, the Puritan Thomas Watson once commented that as the church in Acts 12 was praying unceasingly for the release of Peter from prison as he was about to be martyred, an angel came and delivered him. Thomas Watson said, "It was an angel that fetched Peter out of prison. It was prayer that fetched the angel." If we would only give ourselves to God the way we give ourselves to other activities, if we would only lean on him to do what only he can do. You see, when we fast, it's an expression of desperation. Yes, it's a discipline. It's a saying no to the world. It's a breaking of the hold of the world, because we are in such a materialistic, luxury-oriented, worldly, entertainment-saturated society that fasting helps to break the hold of the world over our lives. It's a recognition of fleshly helplessness. In other words, I can only go so far in my own power. I need God to work and intervene. It helps deepen our spiritual connection to God by saying no to the flesh. It's an aspect of separation. In the word, Moses fasted, and Elijah fasted, and Daniel fasted, and the whole nation of Israel at times would fast. Jesus himself fasted. Paul fasted. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, when you fast. And so I can be fully straightforward with you. There were times in my life years back, and perhaps most heavily in the 1980s, that I gave myself to more extended periods of fasting than I have in some years. And, you know, there have been different fasts we've been part of, or fasting one day a week. But more extended fasts have not been a part of my life as much as they should be. And by God's grace, that's something I want to recover. And often out of desperation, you say, okay, I have to break through. There's nothing else I can do but separate myself to God. If you have a testimony in your own life of something that happened through prayer and fasting, give me a call. I want to take a few calls. We've had some great calls the first hour and a half today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. There's a great discussion that's been going on my Facebook page. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, A-S-K-D-R Brown. I think you'll find that helpful and enlightening, and you can join in the discussion there as well. A brother from Africa came over, spent some time at our different church meetings, went from place to place, was hanging out with some believers here. And he said to a colleague of mine, "No wonder you're in the shape that you're in." He said, "In Africa, we spend our time fasting. Here, you spend your time feasting." Oh, we'll be back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, as we talk about fasting. I was just looking at some of the comments on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page. Again, it's ASKDR Brown. If you're on Facebook, just go ahead and like that and become a, quote, fan of the site. You can interact with others on a 24/7 basis there. Isaiah 58 was referenced, where God speaks about the fast that he's chosen, not a day to walk around miserable. I hate when Dad fasts because he's so nasty. Yeah, my boss is fasting today. He's like an animal. No, it shouldn't be like that. It's a day to do good. It's a day of liberation. It's a day not to be downtrodden. Jesus says that in Matthew 6. Hey, you know, spruce yourself up, put it in contemporary terms so no one knows you're fasting. There's a time when everyone knows we're fasting because we're all fasting together. But there are other times in the norm for our own lives. It's private. It's between us and God. Just like I don't send out a text message. Okay, everyone, I'm praying for the next hour. I'm praying for 60 minutes straight. No, we don't do that. Same with fasting. But fasting is a time to be doing good and to be separating ourselves to God. A quick personal testimony. I often make reference to the commission that God gave me with regard to homosexual issues. Reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. I can't tell you how many times as I've shared that with leaders, pastors, individual believers, that immediately people take out a pen and write it down. Reach out and resist. And then they'll say, can you tell me that whole thing? Yeah, reach out to the LGBT community with compassion. Resist the gay activist agenda with courage. Reach out and resist. Do you know when God spoke that to me? And it kind of put together the burden and thoughts I was having for months before that. It was January of 2005. I was with my friend Lou Engel in Washington, D.C. It was freezing cold out. It was a rally in conjunction with the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And after being together for the rally, we were then going to walk. It was maybe 2 miles or something like that in the freezing cold over to the Supreme Court and stand there in silent prayer. Now, it was going to be silent prayer because we had tape over our mouths, life tape, which also came about as a revelation to a young man named Brian Kim, who had been on an extended Daniel fast, abstaining from meats and sweets for a couple years, I believe. I shared that the first half hour of this hour. And we were there with life tape on our mouths in the freezing cold in silent prayer. And I remember thinking, this is really healthy. The tape on my mouth just says life on it. Silent appeal to the highest court. And that's the purpose of it. A silent prayer going up to the highest court, higher than the Supreme Court, the court before the throne of God, his court, appealing to him for justice, appealing to him to move on behalf of the unborn, on behalf of the mothers and the families. And in that situation, you just focused in on God. It was cold out, very cold, but you're just focused in on God. You can't talk to anybody, can't do anything else. And during that time of just fasting that day and praying is when I got that word, reach out and resist. And that word has resonated. There's a Facebook page using the front cover of my book, just started by others. What's it called? Reach out and resist. Talking about my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. So many others say that's the same commission now that we have. We're basing our ministry emphasis on that reach out and resist. It came in a time of separation. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, September 14th, that's just 3 days from now, is when the movie Last Ounce of Courage comes out. Take your whole family to see it this week. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. It's got a great Christian message, and it's small-town America where it unfolds. It's not one of these impossible scenario things. You don't have some superstar flying through the air and you know, taking on 10,000 people by himself or herself. These are regular people with regular struggles, with a tragedy that took place in the midst of war, and a kid that doesn't have a dad. And they get to a point, young people and old people, where they just say, we don't like the way America's going and loss of freedoms and what's happening to our country. And they decide we got to take a stand. And it's and there's a surprise ending, too, that has have many people in tears when it comes. Go to StandUSA.com, StandUSA.com, to find out more. And then take your family to see Last Ounce of Courage. And then shoot me a note. Let me know your thoughts when you do. All right, back to the phones. Dane in Concord, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure speaking with you today. I have a testimony of fasting.
Yes.
The Lord has delivered me from the bondage of alcohol, the bondage of sexual immorality, and I believe that this is mostly done through fasting. I was a couple years into the Lord, and
Hey Dane, really just quick, Dane, hang on, quick question. Do you have me on speakerphone by any chance?
I do not.
Okay. Yeah, I really want to hear your testimony. The line's breaking up a little, but okay, I understand it's on our it's not on your end, it's on our end. So just keep going. I want to hear this, please.
Okay. A couple years into the Lord, I was still struggling with alcohol. I was still struggling with pornography. And through fasting and prayer, the Lord just really gripped me. And I was more or less conformed into His will through fasting. It happened through Daniel fasting was the first form of fasting that I chose. And I've been delivered. I've been delivered for many years now. And I give the glory to God.
Wonderful.
Through fasting, I was also able to discern the voice of the Lord. Just able to really hear His voice and to do what He wants me to do, not to twist His arm to have Him do what I want, but for Him to speak to me.
So Dane, just in a nutshell, when you first did the, quote, Daniel fast, what did you abstain from?
Meat, sweets, bread. Basically did a fruit and vegetable and water only. The first one was for 21 days, and I wasn't completely delivered after that. Mm-hmm. I had many years of this stronghold in my life, Dr. Brown.
Yeah.
And I ended up going, the next one was a 40-day, and I was delivered after that.
Wow. So these are strongholds of sexual immorality and alcohol that had been in your life for many years.
Many years.
And you've been delivered for many years now.
I have been delivered. I am free. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, Dane, aside from the fact that you were saying no to the flesh and giving yourself to the Lord every way you knew how, I think it's important that we remember that we ought not to isolate one area of our lives from another. In other words, if I am a glutton and I'm also bound by sexual immorality, and I'm also bound by gambling addiction, for me to fight gambling addiction and sexual immorality while thinking I can be out of control with my diet, it doesn't make sense, because that's all the flesh in different ways, different dimensions of it. And yet when that power of the flesh is broken, as we say no to the flesh and yes to God, amazing things do happen. So Dane, I have no question but that there are people listening right now who are in the same place you were years ago, who are going to take hope and say, okay, I can be changed too. And if Dane can hear the voice of God now, and if he can be free, same God, same Spirit, same promises, why not me? Thanks for sharing that, and may the Lord continue to bless your life and testimony.
Thank you.
Friends, be encouraged. If you are serious enough and desperate enough to determine to say no to other things and go after God, the breakthroughs will come. Can I say plainly, it is not a matter of earning it. It is not a matter of beating ourselves into the ground, and God says, all right, now that you're really suffering, now I'll answer your prayer. No, it's not like the monks that would flagellate themselves, take a whip and whip their backs to mortify the flesh or to somehow suffer for their sins. No, no, no. We're forgiven. This is not for forgiveness. We're forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We're accepted as God's beloved children. Now as his children, as we're fighting a war and a battle in this world, we say no to the flesh, yes to the spirit, and it's amazing to see what God will do. All right, Darren, Ricky, you're next. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We've been talking about the power of prayer and fasting. With the emphasis being on fasting is that extra element of discipline, of separation, an expression of desperation. And we're encouraging one another with testimonies because for some of us, fasting doesn't come naturally or easily. For some, it does. And by the way, to the extent that we have an addicted body to certain foods, if you're addicted to, say, coffee, if you're addicted to sweets, if you're addicted to other things, then sometimes fasting can be more challenging, headaches and other things like that. But some fasting is easier than others. Some have physical limitations and you can't fast food, but there are other areas where you can deny yourself in separation to God. But sometimes we need an encouragement to do it, especially if we've never done it before or we haven't done it in years. So we're sharing testimonies. And let me tell you this, I personally have been edified and encouraged by the broadcast. You say you're patting yourself on the back. No. I'm encouraged by your testimonies. And they're encouraging me to give myself more to God in fasting and prayer. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Darren in Greensboro, North Carolina. Thanks for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, sir.
Okay, I just wanted to share something. You had a couple of calls back where a gentleman was saying he was staying focused and he was in the closet. He had to get away from certain things, TV,
yes,
certain things. And you were saying you had to push away your laptop. Well, you know, the Lord was dealing with me on something and he dropped down in my spirit the word entertainment. Mm-hmm. So I looked up the word entertainment and in the first definition, it took me to the first definition. It had a diversion of industry into the war effort. And down about the fifth definition, has several definitions.
Mm-hmm.
I saw where it said a fit intended to draw off attention from the point of main attack. So I clicked on fit, F-E-I-N-T, and it's something that they used in battle to distract the opponent to think that the battle was one place and they were attacked from another end. And, you know, I just wanted to share that because the Lord ministered that to me when I was praying and fasting. And it's right in our face. Even the word entertainment, the root of it, you know, drops down to a distraction. And, it's actually a fit that, the devil is using to distract us away
from
the main point, which is, you know, having communion with him and being able to fast and pray and spend that time with him. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, that's Darren, thank you for doing it. And let me tell you why it's so tremendously relevant with regard to fasting. I don't believe that all of us are called to live in such a way that, say, we are in a little hut with no electricity and running water so that we can be totally separated from the world. Some might be, or somewhere God's calling you to live and serve, that's the only option. But most of us, you know, we're going to have vehicles, we're going to have nice apartments or homes, we, you know, we probably have cell phone, laptop, you know, maybe a TV, whatever. But these things can so consume us. And, you know, it's just like a little child in a room and the child's crying and the parents like get their attention. Oh, over here. Oh, here's your toy. Here's your doll. And the kid stops crying. You know, that's the way we are, that we're supposed to be focusing on something else. And instead, we get so easily distracted, like little kids. Now, in that case, it's good. The kid got distracted from crying. But when we fast, though, we are breaking the power of the world over us. You know, I don't imagine that we would fast from food, you know, no food of any kind, say just drink water, and then spend 6 hours, you know, watching reruns of MASH. I don't imagine, because we're already saying no to the flesh. So in the midst of this world, Darren, fasting and prayer so helps us break the power of the world over us, break the lure and the distraction of entertainment, and call us deeper into God's presence. Thank you, sir, for sharing that. I appreciate it. Ricky in Honolulu, we're a little pressed on time, but please dive right in.
Okay. How are you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thanks.
My testimony has to do with I got locked up for 5 years. And my first day in prison, I was so broken down from all the people I hurt, and just disgusted with life, because everything I did, I tried to do it my way and nothing worked. Well, I opened up the Bible, started reading the Bible, and I don't know if you want to call this fasting, but I lost my appetite. Once I got into that Bible, I didn't even feel like eating. I think it was 2 days, I never even ate. Maybe I had a candy bar here or there. And I remember coming across this one scripture that said, pray for what you want, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a pre-sentence felon. My bail is $250,000. It's impossible for me to get out of prison unless I have the bail money.
Mm.
So I said, okay, God, pray for what I want, believe that I have received it, and it will be mine. I want to see my son graduate. Get me out of prison and see my son graduate. Well, first, he made me reconcile with my family and my wife. I had committed adultery on my wife, and I had an argument with him. I said, there's no way I can tell my wife that I committed adultery. She's going to divorce me, and I'm going to lose everything I have if I do that. Well, eventually, I gave in. I confessed to her. He had sent me to the judge to see if I can be released into a program, a drug program. If I get into the program, I'm out to see my son. Well, the judge denied me.
Ricky, so I went back. Hang on. I don't want to create radio drama here, but okay. Are you able to call me tomorrow sometime during this same hour? Will you be able to do that?
Okay. Let them know I'm calling. Then let them know my name and stuff.
Oh, okay. If you do that, I want to hear the story in more detail, because I want to talk through some things with you, because this is really important. We are just about out of time, and rather than rush you, I know this is going to string this out till tomorrow. If you can't call tomorrow, we'll try to get you through Friday. But as soon as I see your name, I will get you as quickly as possible, because I want to ask you some questions, and I want to see what God did, because this is something I think we all need to hear. Thank you, Ricky. I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow. We all do, in fact, at this point. All right, friends, mark this number down, 1-800-278-9978. Write it down, 1-800-278-9978, or else write down my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and then click on the online bookstore. I want to encourage you to get a copy for yourself, From Son of Sam to Son of Hope, one of the most dramatic conversion stories you'll ever see in your life. Our ministry put it out. Notorious Satanist serial killer transformed by God. You can get this $10 postage paid. We've reduced the price. We're paying the postage. But call right now to order 1-800-278-9978, or order via my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. My bottom line, friends, every one of us can fast. And by God's grace, almost every one of us can give ourselves to extended times of fasting and prayer. Unless you have a medical condition holding you back, take the step and see what God will do.